And from Psalm 118, we turn our attention now to Matthew 21. As you were listening to Psalm 118, I hope you heard many familiar things. It's really one of the real gems of the Psalter. And much of the Palm Sunday story is foreshadowed in the words of Psalm 118. So this is Palm Sunday according to Matthew. It's Matthew chapter 21. We'll read verses 1 through 11. Listen for God's holy word speaking to us and through us this day. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat upon them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." These words from Matthew chapter 21, along with Psalm 118, are by the Holy Spirit, the Word of God for us, the people of God. And now may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts find acceptance in the sight of Almighty God, who is our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I want to note something in the beautiful bulletin packet that you received when you came into the sanctuary this morning, or that perhaps others will pick up if they go to On Point later this morning. I proofed the entire bulletin two times and I didn't see the error of my ways. The title of the sermon this morning is supposed to be "Faces in the Crowd," not "Places in the Crowd." A good reminder that only God is without error. The rest of us, you and me, simple people, prone to mistakes, longing for grace. You can look at something many times and not see what's right in front of your eyes. Maybe that's why faces is a good topic for this morning, because faces are really important. We see someone's face and we recognize them immediately. There's perhaps nothing more human about us than our faces. This is why we use them to identify one another. We use them to identify ourselves. Our sense of self is tied into how our faces look. And so we have profile pics, and we have ID photos on driver's license and passports, even mugshots. We cover our bodies, the rest of our bodies, for modesty or warmth, but we only cover our faces when it is extremely cold or when we're trying to avoid becoming sick. They're the most identifiable part of what we are and who we are, the most personal parts of ourselves from birth till death. Your face, my face, that's how we are known. The most universal of all characteristics, everybody's got one, and yet also the most personal, the most unique thing about each of us. They say a lot about who we are with these lives that we have been giving. Nothing more human or individual than a face, the marker that we carry our whole lives. So that makes me wonder, as I think about Palm Sunday and that sea of faces out before Jesus, that parade of people shouting where he could see so many faces, what did he see that first Palm Sunday long ago? Who were the faces in the crowd? Oh, yes, indeed, we must say it every year, and they've been saying it for thousands of years, but the day begins with palm waving and the roar of the crowds for Jesus. The city is in turmoil. Who is this? They want to know, and quickly his name is passed on through the crowd. But the whole crowd, all of them, all who were there some 2,000 years ago, would have been individuals with their own faces and their own needs, just like you and me. Each person's life and face telling a unique story, hundreds of stories, carrying years of history of joy and setback, of triumph and disappointment. They were human, just like us, and such is every human story. When I think of faces in the Bible, I will confess to you that I really wish I knew exactly what Jesus looked like. I can't be the only one. That there is no specific description, no single verse that says, oh, and by the way, here's what he looked like. It's not there. So we take it on faith. Because he was a human, that he had a face just like we do. And it would have been just as recognizable to his disciples and his family as your best friends and your children and your extended family's faces are to you. Anyone who knew him would have recognized him. Those who prosecuted him clearly must have been able to identify him somehow. His face must have told the story of who he was. Even those who cheered him on once they found out that he was this prophet come from Nazareth in Galilee, even they would have put a face and a story together at that exact moment. His face, a marker of his individuality and his humanity. What we do know about him is that his life, his story, and indeed even what he must have looked like that would have been known to the scoffers and to the celebrants. It would have been known eventually to the Romans, who would finally end his life on Good Friday. And while I really do wish I knew exactly what he looked like, I am curious about this today. I wonder what faces did he see in the crowd? Who did he see? Did he see mostly faces of celebration and support? Well, that's the way Matthew reads. Matthew seems to think that everybody's happy about the fact that Jesus is there, although that's going to change pretty quickly because Matthew has this unique little twist where at verse 12, we stopped at verse 11. If you keep reading on, the first thing Jesus does when he gets to the city is he goes to the temple and he starts throwing the tables over. He starts tearing the place apart as soon as he gets there. So Matthew in 1 through 11, our verses today, everybody seems happy about Jesus. Right? Surely there were those who welcomed him into Jerusalem, the heavenly kingdom that he came to proclaim. They waved their palms. They shouted, Hosanna, which means save us. Hosanna, words found in Psalm 118. They shouted for salvation. They shouted to be rescued. I wonder that day, did he see the faces of any who were skeptical? Because surely not everyone was happy about him being there. Surely some of them wondered, well, is this just another prophet come to town? Surely some of the faces had that prove it to me look. You remember that look? People have given it to you before when you made testimony about something and they looked at you like, well, you're going to have to prove that to me. I'm going to have to know a little bit more. Prove to us that you are the Messiah. Prove to us that you are the chosen one, the holy one. Surely there were those in the crowds who were waiting for Jesus to prove to them that he was the one who could unshackle Rome, them from Rome, and from the crazy and unjust political realities of their lives. Surely there were those who expected him to overthrow the government, not to ascend the cross. Did he see the faces of his scoffers, his doubters, those that would challenge him openly by the time Palm Sunday gives way to Maundy Thursday and Good Friday? I mean, amidst the crowd waving their palms, surely there must have been those in the background, standing just beyond where it would have been easy for Jesus to make them out, perhaps hiding in the shadows, standing in the background just waiting for Christ to make an erroneous step. They were set to pounce on him like a lion, the first mistake he made, planning for his arrest and handover to the Roman authorities. I mean, we can keep imagining all day, imagining the faces of the children, imagining the faces of those who were brought near the road that Jesus might touch them and heal them that day. We can imagine the celebrators. We can imagine the wait and seers. We can imagine those who were biding their time for 3 to 4 days to take him down before they turned him over to Pontius Pilate. So many faces in the crowd, so many. I wonder about the face of Jesus again. Was it somber and resolute on Palm Sunday? Or was it smiling with confidence? Was it sad with the weight of the task before him? Matthew doesn't tell us this either. But we can wonder, we can imagine. Those praising him think that he's riding to a throne, but instead he knows and we know that he's riding to the cross. That's the drama and wonder of Palm Sunday and Holy Week, all the volume and joy replaced by their bitter irony of crucifixion. The crowd that shouts for hope on Palm Sunday will become the crowd that shouts for death by Friday. And while that's not fun, and while, excuse me, it is fun to be counted among the volume of the cheering crowd, it is really fun to go in the direction with all the momentum that everyone else seems to be carrying us on. Holy Week is a good reminder to at least keep the crowd at bay and to trust our own instincts as we pray to God for guidance. Because sometimes the crowd develops a mind of its own and it gets it wrong. A stone rolling down the path will gain momentum as it accelerates downhill, but that doesn't mean the stone is on the right path at all. There's hardly a happier day for the church or for Christians than Palm Sunday. It's really only eclipsed by Easter itself. But there is no day with greater irony than this one. Celebration and wonder and tragedy all wrapped up together. It requires of us today that we give it witness. That's the power of the gospel of our Lord, a place where death and life and death meet, and they confront one another. And God gets the last word, which means that ultimately life shall win. That's our faith and our trust. This Palm Sunday and everyone that we shall live to see into the future, there are two questions that we face. The first, will we follow Jesus to the cross in our lives and in our faith? And the second, if we were there that day, what would our faces say about us? What face would we put on as Jesus rode by down the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem? Do we greet him with joy, or do we stand back far, waiting for him to prove something to us by what he does or does not do? See, there is a Palm Sunday celebration and Holy Week preparation going on around the world today. It's in every race. It's in every language. It's in every tongue. It's in every custom. It's in every style that you can imagine. Palm Sunday is when we join those whom Jesus Christ came to love and to serve, and we welcome him into Jerusalem just as we welcome him into our lives. Whatever face we put on today or tomorrow, we must turn our faces toward him and see him as our Savior. Such is the beauty of our faith this day. May God bless us this Palm Sunday. May God bless us this Holy Week. And may God bless us as we give witness to the passion of our Lord. Amen. The week begins with Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessings to him, Hosanna, in the highest heaven. And it ends wondering, were we there? Were we there when they crucified the Lord? It's a beautiful week, beautiful in all of its majesty and tragedy. In the booklet that you've got, our Holy Week worship companion that we've created, we'll talk about how this week, right in the beginning, the first piece that I wrote, this one week occupies more verses in the Gospels than any other single week in Jesus's life. So it certainly is worthy of our attention. And I pray that as you take these booklets home, perhaps one per household so we don't have to print as many, that would be great, that you will find it a companion as we journey toward the cross together. Until we meet again, friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you, light and grace shine upon you on this Palm Sunday, throughout this week, which we bear witness to the cross of our Lord. In the name of God, be blessed. Amen.